Good evening. Appreciate the reading, Roger. I usually don't like to make a lot of generalizations and try to oversimplify things, but as I was preparing for this lesson, it occurred to me that there's basically two groups of people out in this world. There's a lot of people who fall into the category that they're more than eager to make big decisions based on the advice of almost anybody. And then on the other side of the spectrum, there are those who think that advice is optional and inconsequential. And I hope that we don't adopt either of these two views, because as Christians, the way to handle advice can be a big impact, can make a big impact on our relationship with the Lord. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that we're going to spend a few minutes this evening discussing the topic of advice, and I decided that the best place to start, or at least as good as any, was to answer the question, why do we need advice? What makes wise counsel so important? The first reason of two that I came up with is we need wise counsel because it can be very difficult to evaluate the situation that we are personally engrossed in ourselves. In confusing and fearful situations, adrenaline can be a very powerful influence and promote poor judgment. Often in these circumstances, we need to look to others for objectivity and a better perspective than what we have. It says in Proverbs, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." And this is exactly right. I think that we have a tendency a lot of times to look at the decisions we have made or are about to make wearing rose-tinted glasses. And then when we do make mistakes, the first thing that comes to our mind is to try to justify and rationalize our way out of them. Because, after all, it is much easier for us to try to manipulate and rationalize the decision we've made than to try to change our hearts and our minds to accept what is right. A prime example of how our perspective can be skewed is in the second Samuel, the 12th chapter. And if you want to write it down in your notes, it's going to be verses 1 through 7. I'm not going to read that. But this is the account, this is prior, or just after David has sinned with Bathsheba, and he's had Uriah killed. And basically what happens here is Nathan the prophet comes into him, the Lord sends him to David, and he starts with a little story about there was once a rich man and a poor man. And the rich man has a traveler blow into town, and this poor man has one little lamb. And this rich man, instead of killing one lamb from his multiple flocks, decides that he was going to take this poor man's lamb and to make the feast out of that. And upon hearing this story, David just goes ballistic. He's furious. And he said that as the Lord lives, this man shall die. Not only that, that he shall repay fourfold what he has taken. And so at this point, Nathan says, "Oh, David, this guy I'm talking about is you." So it wasn't until David had another perspective and the sin was showed in someone else's life that he actually recognized it for what it was. And I think we can be the very same way in a lot of instances. We're good at seeing mistakes when they show up somewhere other than our lives. And that is why we need to be ready to receive advice from a loving brother or sister who has a better perspective on the situation than we do, and who is not struggling with the same issues that we are. The second reason that we need wise counsel is for the simple fact that we lack the experience we need to make wise decisions in many situations. And this is okay as long as we recognize our inexperience and seek the experience from other people. In 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 14, we have another story. I'm not going to take the time to read all 14 verses. If you want to, you can. But this is when Rehoboam is having a problem. The people have come to him, and they're asking for him to lighten the load that his father Solomon had put on them. And so he has two choices. He has, on one hand, these wise counselors that have been with his father for all these years, and then on the other side, he has his buddies he'd grown up with. And instead of heeding the advice of the wise old elders that told him he should lighten the load, he goes to his buddies, and they say, "You think your father had to put it bad on you?" He's like, he said that it's going to be so much worse with us. Now, Rehoboam had his problem with poor judgment in choosing his advisors here. Clearly, that was the case. Because not only did he choose advice for the men that were under the same pressures and situations that he was in, but he also chose men with no practical experience over men with insight who had been through the exact same situation he was facing now. And this is very important for us to do in our lives, because it is inevitable that we are going to run into situations where we need advice from others. And the importance of seeking advice from the right sources cannot be overemphasized. We can see this in our daily lives. Sometimes the right source might be parents or doctors or nurses or mechanics or brethren or even the guy down at the hardware store. You need advice on what to buy. And these people can all be very important and necessary in the situations that we need them. But at the same time, we're not going to call a doctor when we need work on our plumbing. We're not going to call the mechanic when we come down with a little scratchy throat. And this is because we can all understand the value of having a consultant that knows what they're talking about and that is qualified to help us through our problems. And we can get a chuckle at all these absurd examples that I just went through. But we must keep in mind that it is even more absurd in God's eyes, and not humorous in the least, when we go off and do things like turn on Dr. Phil as the authority on advice on how to raise our children, or read our horoscope to make decisions on how we live our lives and what activities we participate in. And when it becomes even more dangerous is when we run into situations that we have a lack of qualified advisors. And there are going to be many situations that force us to make do with whom and what we have at our disposal. And this is when we need to be especially careful. When we are facing circumstances where we have to act without qualified advisors, not only do we have to take into account the lack of experience of ourselves and others and determine if the advice is logical and goes with the common sense that we have, but most importantly, we need to ask ourselves if it conflicts with the will of God. We've got to be watching out for that kind of guy in those commercials that's leaning over the operating table, whispering advice in the surgeon's ear on what to take out and what to leave in. And it turns out he just spent the night at the Holiday Inn Express down the road. It's the kind of guy that seems to have it all figured out and has really no qualifications that can be the most damaging. Now, the reason I wanted to talk about advice tonight wasn't because I think we have trouble understanding the benefits of heeding wise advice, but I think that because we've all grown up with verses like Psalms 1:1 and Proverbs 11:14, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counsel there is safety. We've all heard these verses many times and have no problem comprehending them. But I do think that we can become a little bit complacent. It might even forget some passages like Proverbs, the first chapter, verses 22 through 33. And I'm going to read these if you would bear with me. It says in verse 24, and this is written as if wisdom was talking here. Because I have called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer them. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despised every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. It's made quite clear in these verses that wise counsel is not something that we can just accept when it sounds good to us and leave on the table when it's not, when it doesn't fit our agenda. And while these verses here is kind of a general blanket statement on wise counsel altogether, I think it is safe to say that we can conclude the same results if we do not listen to the counsel of God. And Saul ended up finding this out the hard way. If you turn to 1 Samuel, the 28th chapter, and starting in verse 15, I'm not going to read that again. If you want to go through the account later, you can get a picture of what was going on, but I do want to give a little background on what he's facing at the time. Saul's in a pretty bad way right now. He's at the twilight of his reign of the king of Israel, and the Lord's departed from him for not destroying Amalek utterly as he had commanded. He's done his own thing with sacrifices in the past. Samuel's dead now. The Philistines are camped out, ready to go to battle with him. And pretty much Saul's just freaking out here. He has not got any advice from the Lord, even though he's asked. And so Saul decides to visit a woman at Endor, who is a medium. And he wants her to allow him to consult for Samuel's advice. And without getting the momentum stopped too far, I think it's worthy to sit here or make a point here that woe to the person who consults with any spiritualist or any other kind of astrology or fortune telling and anything that is construed from the mind of man, because we already know that that's going to go against the will of God in the first place. But anyway, it turns out that Saul is allowed to converse with Samuel, and I think it's safe for us to tell that this is not by the medium, by the Lord, but just by the virtue of the way that she acted, the surprise she had when she did see the spirit of Samuel. But, so, this brings us to the point and where I was talking about in 1 Samuel 28:15. I'm going to pick up in verse 15. And it says, "Now Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' And Samuel answered, 'I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. And God has departed from me, and has not answered me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do.' Then Samuel said, 'Why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you, and has become your enemy? And the Lord has gone, and the Lord has done for himself, as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand, and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day.'" As Saul found out, we can't view advice as just to get out a free jail card, because by then it's just way too late. We can't expect, if we want to apply this to our lives, we can't expect just to do our own thing and live by the flesh and obey the flesh and just do our own thing until we start struggling, and then expect to turn to God for advice on how to get out of a tough situation. Because we, by being in the situation that we are already in, have shown that we do not want to heed God's advice, and that we do not value it. We can't pick and choose what we will and will not listen to when it comes to God's word or advice. He isn't like one of those little help wizards you just pop up on your screen, a little paperclip guy, when you're having trouble, the trouble you shoot you through a problem, and then close them down once you're free sailing again. That's just not how it works. I think we wouldn't do this topic very much justice if we didn't look at how we give advice, so I just want to spend a few minutes on that this evening, because it's something that we all run into on occasion. And not only that, it's extremely important, because we might have to understand that giving advice might be what changes a person's life. And we must remember when giving advice that the key thing here is that it must be motivated by love and offered with thoughtfulness. Advice given by someone who cares about us, or that we care about, will always have the best interest of the person receiving the advice in mind. We must be careful not to heed or give advice that is not rooted in love, because often it can be reckless and self-seeking. We talked about Rehoboam's bad advice earlier. If you skip down a few verses into the 22nd verse, going through 29, we have the account of Jeroboam. And he's in a bad situation himself. If you want to turn over there, we're going to be 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, verses 25 through 29. "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now the kingdom may return to the house of David, if these people go up to the offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah.' Therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to his people, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And he set them up, one at Bethel, and the other he put in Dan." So we see here that Jeroboam's advice was totally self-seeking in this instance. He knew what was right. He knew the people needed to go sacrifice at Jerusalem. And he knew that if they did, that the kingdom would probably be reunited again, and they would follow Jeroboam and leave him out to dry, and he'd probably come back and kill him. But he says, "You know, that's a 3 days journey or so. It's just too much for you guys. How about here? These are the gods. This is what you want to see. This is something you can put your eyes on. Let's just put one of these up in Dan, one of these up somewhere else, and you can go there, and this won't be as hard on you." He knew that his advice was bad, but it was totally self-seeking, because it wasn't rooted in love or with any concern of what God would have him to do. So I guess what I'd like to conclude with tonight is an example of good advice, someone that we can look to as a standard and take comfort in, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. If we have accepted Christ and are obedient, then we have the best advisor of all, and that's Christ himself. We talked a little bit about experience earlier and how necessary that is if we want to get good advice. And not only has Christ experienced all that we will in the way of trials and temptations, but he's gone through those temptations without ever sinning. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 15th verse, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, as we are, yet without sin." Who better to look for an example of advice for in handling temptation is Christ himself. If you are outside of Christ, then you don't have the stability and the luxury of going to Christ as the standard, as the advice in your life. And it might seem like Saul many times, where there's overwhelming obstacles and situations in your life that you just can't handle. And even you might try to do whatever you can to get good advice, but at the end, it's not going to be coming from God. It's not going to be the perfect advice, the true advice. So if you have the wish to come and accept Christ, or if you have anything else that you might want to make known before the congregation, we invite you to do so as we sing the invitation song.